This is 8:55, if I'm not mistaken. Yes, 8:55. And we're ready to go. So here we go. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Who's the best show here?
Tech Show!
Who's the best show here?
Tech Show!
All right, that's pretty good. That's the best one yet.
Pizza, pizza. Like an inch and a half long.
Right. My wife doesn't care.
Big old showtime!
So you were making egg foo young in the kitchen. I was in the dining room having sushi.
It's a little thing tech show, and that's a fact. If you don't like the cats, you can stick it up your ass. Ain't no funny duddies that a Lincoln bat. For the streaming, go direct to DLNTS.org. And IC channels at LinuxLink.net. Bound tech show. Just sit right there, cause the cats are just about to begin.
Welcome to episode 855 of the Links Link Tech Show. On the show tonight, we have Pat. And we have Joe.
Hello, hello.
And maybe Joel will show up. Who knows? Maybe Taco Bell was delayed in giving him his order. We shall see. But you had mentioned, Pat, you went into work today.
Yeah, this is about 30% of the amount of people on a normal given day on the road. Make people done, you know?
Yeah, I had to go into work on Monday to exchange the laptop that had the battery problem that I had spoke about. And there was absolutely not the same amount of traffic that's usually at that time. There was pretty much no traffic. Usually, you get to a point where it's bumper to bumper in some cases, and a backup if you're unlucky at the time I left. But comparatively speaking, it was almost like a weekend in November, early in the morning when there's no tourists in the area. I had to pass a mall. I worked down in Greenbrier. Chesapeake,
all done, so that's a bad reference point.
Yeah, so there was nothing. The mall parking lot was empty. All the strip malls and stuff around the area, like most of the places were not open. Most of them were not were closed. Like Target, there's a Target down there that was open, and some of the restaurants that I saw were, I think Joe's Crab Shack's sign was still on, which I guess maybe they might have been open for takeout or something. Most of the places were open, like all of them were just takeout or curbside only. Yeah, what their sign was saying. 7-Eleven had a few cars at it. I actually had to get gas at the end of my trip. I didn't have to, but We had gone to under a half a tank, and that was, gosh, we hadn't filled that up since like early March. And so we just got under a half a tank, and I like to keep it above a half a tank. So I was like, all right, I went to Wawa right near my house, and there were no cars putting gas in the car. And this was like at 11:30 in the morning, so getting right around what's typically peak lunch hour in there, and there was like maybe two or three cars in the Wawa, in the parking lot where people going in the Wawa itself. One car had pulled up while I was pumping gas, and then I left, you know. So it's still pretty dead down here.
Not around here.
So,
I don't know. I haven't been outside to be able to tell you if things are dead or not.
Yeah, I don't blame you, Joe, man. I haven't been out of my neighborhood. I'm pretty much out of my yard since March 17th. So I was quite surprised.
Yeah, around here people are much more active. And, I think everybody's sick of it all, you know? And, they don't care anymore.
So I'm sure as hell ain't going anywhere else. That was my one trip, and I don't want to. And what sucked about it is I had to go down there, and I go in, and this is a brand new office, and they're having network problems apparently, but there's nobody in the office. Like, the person who I had to get the laptop from, she goes in once a week to make sure there's no leaks or anything, and so nobody really goes in that office at all. But she had to, the thing that she had to do in the office with my laptop was she had to put, join it to the domain, and she could only do that in the office. Like, she couldn't do that remotely. And the network was flaky, so it took like 4 or 5 tries for her to get it onto the domain and everything that I could be able to log in. And then sure enough, when I go to log in, my password has expired, right? Usually we get an email 14 days before our password expired. I never got an email. I got an email about my password expiring in 14 days the day my furlough started.
The day
started.
You went on furlough.
Yeah, and I couldn't check my email that whole time, so I had no idea. But it shouldn't have expired like that. Anyway, but I got my laptop exchanged. Whatever corporate bullcrap that they have to put on this, because the last laptop I got, I set it up. So I was running without all that extra baggage that they have to put on there, you know, the security stuff and all this stuff. I was running without that for a really long time. And then I put some of the other stuff, but all that stuff. Now it's like dog slow to log in, and certain things seem to be a lot slower than what I'm used to, which is unfortunate. But I'm happy. She did a great job, got me all set up and in and out of there. And now I don't have to worry about my laptop catching on fire. What's that?
So you got another Mac, right?
I would love to have had one without that crappy bar at the top. I hate that bar. But now it's like really weird. Is I had gotten used to, like, the battery, when it expanded, it pushed against the trackpad, so it lost the clicking ability on the trackpad, but I could do the tapping, and some of the keys towards the bottom, like the space bar and the bottom row of letters, were, I had to really tap hard on those to get them to register, a lot harder than I usually do. And it's weird getting used to having a keyboard that doesn't have those problems and a trackpad. It's just like I'm overcompensating a lot of the time.
Yep, I found my first niggle on Ubuntu 20.04, but nothing big.
What is it? Tell me, because I have a story for that, too.
Did we start the show yet?
Yeah, we started the show.
Okay. Sorry, I just got off work at 12:30. Jesus, where's my brain? So while I'm waiting for, like, my day to end, you know, unfortunately the evening was slow. Actually, the day was slow, thankfully, because it's a good thing, because we had that escalation with a client and it was a pain in the ass. But anyway, so while I'm waiting for that to happen, I went ahead and started getting my laptop ready for the show. And I thought, yeah, why not? Let's go ahead and do my standard sudo apt update sudo apt upgrade. App update went fine. I go to do the upgrade, and then I see it's running into a lock with the background. Because the one thing that 20.04 has that the older release has not had is live patch. So it'll live patch your system as it's sitting there. And it'll live patch everything, including the kernel, so you don't have to actually reboot. Well, apparently it just does that in the background with this background process called something like upgrade background. I have to actually open my terminal back up and see if I have it in the cache. But so once I killed that process, I was able to do the standard upgrade style. But maybe I might just leave this laptop on, turn it on first thing in the morning next Wednesday, and just leave it on all day. And see what happens, and see if by the time right before show hits, that I can check for updates, see if there's any to install, and then Maybe there won't be any. I don't know.
What was the process called?
Let me look. I need to see if it's in my... It should be in my my bash command list. Unattended upgrade.
And that's a process running?
Unattended dash upgrade, yep.
Interesting. So, here's a problem I ran into, Joel. This is like really kind of blew me away. So, towards the end of last week, I was like, "Oh, I didn't upgrade to the latest Ubuntu yet." After the show, we had talked about that, and I was like, "I'll do it tomorrow." And then I pushed it off, and so I think it was Saturday. I came down here and I was like, I don't want to muck around with the graphical interface. I'm just going to do the do release upgrade, right? And I did that and it said, there's no release to upgrade to. I'm like, man, that's weird. So I was like, okay, maybe what I need to do is I should probably do an update and an upgrade. And I did that.
The graphical?
No. I just did an apt update and then apt update and apt upgrade. And then an apt dist upgrade I usually do too. And then I did a release upgrade after I rebooted because it did like a kernel patch update. And then still there's no version to upgrade to. And I was like, man, this is really weird. So I did something and I tried upgrading some other stuff and there was more stuff that had to come down or whatever. And I did that through the graphical interface part. I was like, all right, if I'm not getting it from do release upgrade, let me do the graphical interface. So I did that and it was taking a fairly bit of a long time. And it said, there are some things that need to be removed, right? You no longer need, you want to remove them. So I clicked yes and it was going. And then I came back about an hour later and it was still doing it. And then it started flashing these messages like you're running out of space on the root partition.
Ooh.
And I looked and it was like 100% full. And I'm like, what is going on? So for some reason, I don't know what was happening, but my syslog in Varlog syslog was filling up. Like it was a couple of, like 30 gigs in size. So I deleted it and I'm like, okay, I'm deleted it. I'll see if it's going to pick back up on this upgrade of finish removing. So I came back another hour later. And it still wasn't doing it. It hadn't moved anymore. And the syslog kept growing. So I stopped the process. I rebooted the machine. Came back up. I let it sit there for a bit. Everything was fine. Syslog wasn't growing. I ran the disk update and upgrade and looked for auto remove. And it did everything it needed to do. I was back up to where I was. And then I did do release upgrade. And it still would not upgrade to a new release version. And I'm like, what the hell is going on? So I look at my sources and what's the name of the new release?
Focal Fossil.
And I'm like, I'm already running it.
Yeah, Focal Fossil.
Yeah. I'm like, how did I get the new release? I don't remember upgrading at all. I don't ever remember upgrading. Either I did it a while ago and I just completely forgot, which I don't remember, or something kicked it off.
Or I'm wondering if it just did it on its own.
Which is weird. And so after I got all that, like, whatever, sorted out with the syslog growing, which is not doing anymore, like, I'm on Fossil and yay. But it's interesting that you call my attention to that, the unattended upgrade. Because I didn't know about that process. I should probably look into it. But I have a process running on my machine right now. But it's it's unattended upgrade shutdown dash dash wait for signal. And I'm like, I never heard of that process before. And I don't remember ever seeing it. So it's something I need to look up. But I don't see unintended upgrade itself running. It's just unintended upgrade shutdown, wait for dash dash wait for signal. So that's something.
It's not running on my system currently, but that's because I just killed it a little bit ago.
Now, did you just kill the process, or did you stop?
Yeah, I killed
it. Is there a daemon that you stopped?
No, I just killed it. There is. I did put a link to a web page on how to disable the automatic updates if you don't like that. I personally, I actually don't mind it because it's not like this is a server or anything. It's my laptop, so if it upgrades, I don't really care. It's not like it's a service, a server with a service, but that was interesting. So, but I also do have another thing I want to talk about a little bit. I don't know a whole lot about it, but it's just odd.
Wait 1 second. Let me ask you one question because I haven't done any research into this yet. This is the first time I'm looking at it. But if your system requires a reboot from the unintended upgrade, does it automatically just reboot it, or does it tell you, hey, you need to reboot and have you do it?
I don't think it has to, because it can live it can live update the kernel.
All right.
So I don't think it has to. It actually is able to live update the kernel as it's up and running. So
okay.
But on other issues, I am part of a DR team where we do DR testing, and we ran into an issue a while back, and I'm just kind of wondering if anybody else has ran into something similar. I don't know if it's with Java or what it's specifically with, but we use something called Cloud Indoor for doing follower from one front AWS region to another. What happened to us during the test was I could start, after things fall over, I can go in and I could start up our listeners on the new instance that's now moved from one region to another. The processes would start, but none of the processes would actually bind to a port. So basically the application was non-functional. These are Java processes. These are written by our company, of course. I'm just wondering, has anybody ever run into that? Please let Dan or myself know. I'd really love to figure that one out. But now, granted, I will say this. This is on Rails 6, which is quite a bit out of date by now. We do have a project that we're going to start taking our clients to Rails 7. And that's something that I'm kind of anxious to get started. It's one of the things that we're trying to do is modernize things and start limiting. So like right now in our non-prod and even in some of our prod environments, our clients have far too much access. So we're starting to kind of curtail that back a little bit.
Are you just going to get root access? They love that, right?
Yeah, right. Now, hopefully this issue we're having is fixed in Rails 7. So, get
what's
ready.
What's the issue again? You said
basically what would happen is, and this is good. We in order to use Cloud Indoor, we had to switch our AWS instances to something called a Nitro instance, which I've it's kind of new to me. And in the process of switching to that, it broke something broke with it, how these Java processes pick up ports on the network stack. So they'll start and they'll run. There's logs there. You can look in the logs. You can tail the log as it's running. But anytime you try to access the port, like via one of our other applications that connect to that port, nothing. And if you run a netstat, it's not even binding to the port. It's strange. I've never seen it before.
So what do you have to do to fix it?
We don't know at this point. Right now, I know that right now our development says, it's a problem with those instances. I'm like, yeah, no kidding.
It's not a SE Linux problem, is it?
I don't even know if we have it active.
Does Nitro have it active?
That's a good question. I don't know.
That almost sounds like an SE Linux problem.
Yeah, that, you know what? That's actually an interesting point. But I think though, that they did do some testing and they discovered that that it was incompatible with the nitro instances. But I wish I can go further into depth, but I'm probably already said too much.
And you're running
Rail 6.
Rail 6.
And the processes are Java, and we tried it both on Oracle Java as well as OpenJDK. Couldn't get to work on either. It's strange. Well, I found something interesting on eBay, and I'm not so sure if I should continue to bid on it. Hate to just randomly shift like that, but I'm kind of done talking about that other stuff. Is it worth bidding on a working Apple IIc? Right now, the current bid is $158.
I don't know what you're going to do with it. Joel, I think it's SE Linux. I really do, because I'm looking at other stuff, and we had problems with port binding.
Okay.
And SE Linux. So check that out. I recommend to check that out.
I'll see if we can. We're going to try it in RHEL 7, too, but that's something I'm going to mention to the infrastructure guy. But
you can turn off SE Linux, and if it works, then you know that's the problem.
Yeah, SE Linux is so much fun.
I'm sorry. So $125 is the current bid, you said?
No, current bid is $158. I got outbid.
How much longer?
2 days left, and it's $38 shipping. I don't know. I'm so tempted. It looks so good. It looks if it wasn't in such good shape, I would see, and that's the thing I'm afraid of, is that if I put in like $200, it's like,
Which is an Apple IIc, you said?
Yeah. It's always one of those machines I've always wanted to have. And I don't know if I ever shared on the show, but when I was a kid in 1985, I went to the Boy Scout Jamboree in Fort AP Hill, Virginia, and Apple was there. And while I was there, they actually had Apple IIc cases. So basically, the Apple IIc is probably one of the first, I want to say, more luggable machines. I mean, there were others, like there was the Compaq had one, a few others had one. But this one, that you can actually, I think both Apple and other companies made an actual kit that you can put an LCD. Now, it wasn't a color LCD, but you can put an LCD on top of the machine, and you can also buy like an external battery to run the thing off of battery if you needed to. Now, granted, it probably ran for about 20 minutes, but
yeah, I'm just looking at a picture of it that, with the one with the monitor on top of it that it can hook into.
Yeah.
And you can put a disk drive on the side of it. An external disk drive. Damn, that thing is huge.
There's a specific one. I put it in the IRC. There's a specific one. It might even be the same one. Yeah, it's bigger than you really think. But it's definitely smaller than the original Apple II and Apple IIe. While I was in school, we got to learn on the Apple IIc and Apple, not IIc, but IIe and II Plus.
We would shoot the Trash 80s.
Trash 80s. Now, I have the first one I ever owned, which is the Atari 800XL. And I actually just did some research on what I need to hook it up to HDMI, and there's actually a little box for like $10. And the only thing I have to do is I have to dig around and see if I can find there is a monitor cable they made for the Atari 800 that basically converts it out to composite video, and it splits out the audio as well. And so basically just plug everything into that, and it's not perfect, of course, because it's going from digital to analog to digital again. But the video I watched on YouTube actually looked pretty decent. Now I'm halfway thinking about getting that so I can stick, basically put this. I have the screws out of it right now. I just need to put the screws back in it. I had to do some cleaning on it. But I need to put the screws back in, and I'm halfway thinking about sticking it out in the living room. I have space in my entertainment center and put it in there so I can play some of the games. And then one of the things I'm thinking about getting is there's a about $50. There's an SIO. SIO is Atari's. Basically, that was their peripheral interface. I always liked it because the thing I liked about SIO was it is daisy chain. So basically you could have one cable going into your computer, but then that can go into the back of a cassette drive, then into the back of a printer, and then into the back of a disk drive, and you only had to have one cable connected to your computer. It was actually really nice and clean, kind of a little bit like FireWire was back in the day. But I've always wanted a 2C. Right now, the case I have, I still have it. It's actually in my closet right next to me here. But the case I had for that was kind of a prized possession at the Boy Scout Jamboree because they only give out so many every day. And there was actually kids that were stealing it. So like from the day I got it until the day we got on the bus, I actually stuffed it in my sleeping bag with me because I didn't want anybody sneaking in the back of my tent while I was sleeping at night to pick that off. Because I also happened to hold all of my memorabilia from that time in my life during the Boy Scout Jamboree, which was just an awesome time.
Do you have a monitor that you can connect into this thing?
See, that I do not, but I think you can just hook out. If you look in the back, there's a composite video out. Right in the middle, there's a composite port out. So, but oh, I mean, man, look at this thing. It looks gorgeous, man, for as old as these are. These are 40 years old, man.
Yeah, no, it doesn't look yellowed, which is
no, it doesn't even look, looks like it needs retro bright in the pictures, you know?
It comes with the box, too.
Yep.
That's pretty.
See, that's why I'm afraid to bid anymore because I'm thinking it might go up further, and I don't want to pay for. Because if you look on eBay, man, there's some that look worse than this that will go for much higher. It's kind of one of those things I've always wanted, anyway.
I mean, if you can get it at a price that you feel is that you're willing to pay for it, yeah.
Yeah, I can't never get as lucky as Clint from Lazy Game Reviews, who will just have people just send him shit.
Yeah. Speaking of, I have had a couple of people offer to either send me things or buy some of the stuff that I've posted online. But most recently, I bought a lot of 10... supposedly broken tablets.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, and so far, all of them, well, 8 out of the 10 work. 2 of them need new batteries. Okay, one of them is, excuse me, Dell Venue 11 Pro 5130, which I haven't had one of before. Still a really cool device. Not as cool as the 7000 series with its replaceable SSDs, but still really good. And like today, I've had them for a couple days now. Today I've sat down and I'm trying to bypass these FRP locks on the things. And I was able to bypass one of the FRP locks, but now I'm really stuck on this other one that I'm working on to get past that.
Yep.
What's an FRP lock?
Here you go. There's another one on here. Oh, go ahead.
The FRP lock is something that Google implemented for devices that have been like hard reset. In order to be able to use them, you're supposed to have to log in with one of the accounts that has previously been on the device.
Samsung tablets?
Any tablet. Any tablet with Android on it that's modern. I know this one is Android version 6.0, and it has it on there. And the RCA Android tablet that I was working on before this has it on there as well. But I was able to bypass it on the RCA. And it's to prevent theft or prevent, you know, being able to profit from theft. But I had never seen it before, which is why I, you know, I just did a hard reset when I saw that somebody else's account was on it. And now it will not let me log in, and I'm trying out a different couple of different methods, but each time I get a step further, I find something else that just wants to block. Like now the Google account manager settings that should be in here and that were in here on the RCA, now that I've finally been able to get to it, it doesn't exist. So
that sucks.
Yeah. So I'm looking for another way around it.
And you can't just like flash it. Or whatever.
You know, I had tried that with the RCA because that was the first thing that came to my mind. But I couldn't get ADB to acknowledge that it exists.
Yeah, you gotta get in ADB mode. Otherwise, you can't really flash it.
I could get it into ADB mode because they all have recovery built in. And you can tell it to, you know, accept commands over ADB. But then when I hook up a cable to it and hook it up to my computer, I'm not getting any kind of response out of it.
Mm-hmm.
It's basically not seeing it. So, yeah, odd. I'm having fun.
See, that makes me think about, I'm looking into my... There's two programs that work has health-wise that I recently just joined. One of them is called Livongo, which is basically for type 2 diabetes, which I do have. I'm not anywhere close to where Link is. In fact, I'm almost to the point where I don't need medication. But I went and filled out the thing, and they send you a meter... and supplies, and all the supplies are free, so I figured, why not? Just so I tried that. I like it a lot. The meter itself actually has 3G built into it, so it automatically uploads it to the web, and I don't really care if anybody knows what my blood sugar is. But it's being in control. If you look at the meter itself, it tells you how many of your, like, it gives you a percentage of how many of your measurements are within range. And mine's like 80 or 90%. So that tells you how well I'm keeping it controlled. And I only take one dose of metformin a day in the evenings. So, but that's one thing. And probably not as cool. But the other one is I've been having, you know, when you get above a certain age, certain parts of your body don't work too well. Like your knees and shit like that, you know.
Oh, I thought you were going to say something else there.
No, not, that works.
That fell off
well
a couple
enough.
Years ago.
Yeah, that works.
Joel said.
But the other program that work has, it's included as part of my benefits package, is something called Hinge Health. And they have two programs, one for your back and the other for your knees. I chose the knees, and what they send you, I haven't gotten it yet, but they send you a package that has sensors that you wear on your knees, and you use the tablet it comes with. It comes with the tablet. Specifically, it's an Amazon Fire tablet, so I get that for nothing. All right, and basically, the whole program, the whole idea is it helps when you put you strap the sensors on. I assume that it's going to measure like your range of motion and shit like that, and help you go through exercises to help make your knees not hurt as much. So. We'll see how that works, and like I said, push comes to shove, and I don't like it. I still have a tablet that I got for nothing. Maybe not a great tablet. It depends. I don't know which version of the Amazon Fire tablet it is, but there's that.
It's still a Fire tablet.
Yeah, that's what I figured. Because there's lots of good. Actually, there's some really good stuff up on Amazon Prime Video now. I think the A-Team's on Prime Video now. If you like the old school shows like that. So But and I also over the weekend I tested curbside pickup at Best Buy because that's the only way you can get anything at Best Buy right now. And I picked up the Nest Hub Mini, which is basically what replaced the Home Hub Mini, the little speakers. So it's the second version of it. The second version actually has a hold back for mounting it on the wall, period. So I don't have to have the 3D. The original ones, I had the 3D print a bracket that works really well to hold the speaker on the wall. This one I don't have to. In fact, actually, over the weekend, one of the things I need to do is I need to get the screwdriver out and remove the mount for the old one, because the original one we had in the bedroom would randomly turn the speaker on and off. What it is there's a problem with the switch that does that. And I think I still have it. I should see if I can tear it apart and fix the switch. But I figured, let's just pick up another one. They're not that expensive. They're like $30 now. So I picked that up, and it's in the bedroom. It makes my wife happy because she can yell at it to tell it to turn the lights off, which is probably the number one thing that we use our home assistants for. Actually, I just saw a deal. I'm not sure where it was, but I saw a deal where they had a two-pack of the ones with the screens on it for like $99. But, you know, those come with caveat, you know. You got to acknowledge they do listen to you, so. And that way I figure it, you know, I'm not saying anything secure anyway, but. Oh. And I got a weekend project coming. Started off with, over the weekend, there's a fence in the back of our yard. And it's just got 20 years worth of overgrowth on it from mulberries and trees and vines growing on it. And my wife decided, she wanted it all cleaned up. So all last week, while I'm sitting here and working, she'd go out there with just a pair of loppers and started cutting stuff. And then Saturday, I took a chainsaw out and started to cut some of the thicker stuff up. And now I got a whole bunch of pile of brush just piled up. And the rest of it, I really can't get to unless I clean up the stuff we got piled up. So I ordered a wood chipper from Amazon.
A wood chipper?
Yeah. You stuff the brush in the top. It'll take branches. It says all the way up to 3 inches, but I'm going to keep it right around 2.5. But we'll see how it works. It's like $500. It wasn't horribly expensive, and it was a whole lot cheaper than paying somebody to do it, because I had two guys come out last week to do estimates. One guy wanted $800 to clean it all up, and including cut more off the fence. Another company wanted $1,600, and I'm like, yeah, no. Let me buy this. It's going to take a lot of work, but it's going to be a lot cheaper, and makes my wife happier, I guess. I don't know.
What was which one was it?
I'm trying to remember what I got. Let me look on my thing. It's a 4-cycle, so I don't have to mix oil or nothing in it. I need to go get gas. What I ordered was the, just take me to it, the Great Circle USA wood chipper, shredder, mulcher. So, and it comes with a bag that you can attach on it, but I don't think I'm going to even bother with the bag. Because I've read and watched some video reviews on it, and they said don't bother with that. But also renting them is expensive too. Renting them, like if you just rent one, to rent one would run you probably about $200 per 8 hours, I think. So now I just have to yank this thing out of the garage, pull it in the backyard, start it up, and toss it in there myself. You know. Plus a lot of them. Here's the other thing to think about too. If you want to rent a wood chipper, then you pretty much should probably have a trailer hitch on your car or a truck. Because most of them are the larger variants, not the little ones like this guy. And this is better than the electric one, because they do have electric ones, which those things are like $150, $170. But we'll see how it works.
Wait, what was the name of that again?
Great Circle. Great Circle USA wood chipper shredder mulcher heavy duty. It's got 212cc gas powered 3-in-1.
Is it the blue one?
Oh. It's orange.
$569?
Yep.
Damn.
I figured, you know what? If I use it once a year, I'll get my money's worth out of it. And I definitely think I'll probably end up using it once a year. Cutting shit up out of my yard. And even if it only works for the one job, it's also still not too bad. Huh?
Don't fall in it.
Yeah. It's got like a small diameter thing where you would stick the branches in, but like brush, you just stuff it in the top. So it's scheduled to come Saturday. And that's the other thing I discovered, because we actually went and looked at hardware stores over the weekend and see if we could get one like to clean it up like right friggin' now, because she's tired of it. But nobody had any in stock here.
They wouldn't rent one either?
No, like I said, you can rent one, but they rent almost as much. Like, we'd probably spend as much as it cost to buy this to rent it for a few days. So.
Customer questions and answers. Question: what's the difference between the 850 and the 950 engine? 100 is the answer.
Oh, that's harsh.
Who's a smart ass that wrote that?
Let me say, you want to see some funny ones? Look up the Hustler banana slicer.
The Hustler banana slicer?
Not Hustler, Hutzler, Hutzler banana slicer. It's pretty funny.
The banana slicer 571.
A classic unitasker.
All right. Let's
see. Alton Brown would not like it.
Oh, yeah. They got some questions and answers on this? They only speak Spanish. Will it work on Platinos? Yes, it does work on banana pants.
Banana pants.
I bought one of these, and from the day I set it down in my kitchen, my bananas have stopped talking to me. What now?
Hey, put your plates in the sink.
You see, that's what I love about this one, is some of those odd-ass, funny questions. Be very concerned. My bananas did the same thing. I figured it would pass, but 2 days later, the 897H human slicer arrived in the mail.
Is there a metric version?
Yeah, those are great.
Oh man, that's a crazy question. I love it. That's good. That one's good. It makes your day.
Woo. Yeah. Well, it's like those and like the 50-gallon drum of lube. That one has good ones on too.
What a name, Great Circle, though.
Yeah, I know. I think it's definitely Chi-Com for sure. You see, there's some conservatives out there that are like wanting not to buy anything from China anymore because of the pandemic. I'm being realistic. There's no possible way to not buy something that doesn't have some sort of link to China. It's very difficult to do that, even if you want to buy a pound of bacon sometimes, because Smithfield is is owned by a Chinese company, I believe. Smithfield Pork Products.
They were bought by a Chinese company like 2 or 3 years ago, I think it was. So when's yours arriving?
My wood chipper arrives Saturday.
And see, the only bit, like, negative thing I see people saying about this is there's a good chance that it might come with some damage to it, but the company
will, I saw that, yeah.
The company will make it right.
Yeah, everyone has said that. In fact, I want to say I think Great Circle might be an Amazon brand. I'm not sure 100%. And I got some rubber, like a carpet. They're not completely rubber, but they're like they have rubber on the bottom, and then they have carpet on the top. Because our steps, when we got rid of the carpet on them, we painted it. That's what we ended up doing. We just painted it with some floor paint. We tried to stain it, and my wife wasn't happy with it. So, of course, sand it back down, paint it. The only problem is Sassy, our old girl Sassy, is having issues getting up the stairs. So I bought some of these. They're stair treads. In fact, they came today. So they're like kind of like you ever go to the store and you have the carpet mats that are rubber on the bottom and the carpet on top? It's kind of like that, but they're sized to fit on the stairs. So I'm hoping if I put these on the stairs that she can get up and down the stairs a little easier. And she hates the floor because she gets no traction on it whatsoever. But she's old, man. I got Sassy when I got my G1. Remember that?
Yeah, a long time ago.
Well, that's like I just saw an article printed by Droid Life. The Droid Incredible, which is a lot of people's first Android phones, is 10 years old now.
A long time ago.
Came out in 2010. So these stair treads look like they're pretty easy to install. It's just double stick tape on the back. And they look kind of look nice too, so. We'll see what they look like and see if they help Sassy get up and down the stairs better.
Poor Pooch.
Yeah, her rear end, her legs don't work too well in the back. She has I think she has arthritis in her hips, and it's getting worse and worse. I'm just, one day we're going to lose her. I know that. It's probably going to be sooner than later.
What are you going to do? This sounds morbid. Are you going to bury her or what?
I don't know. I'll cross that bridge when I come to it. I'm probably not going to get another dog. It's just too much damn work.
I usually we take our animals down to my mother-in-law's. She has tons of property, so you stick them in the freezer, and then you drive them down there, and they don't thaw out. That's just terrible conversation. They don't thaw out before you get down there, especially if you put them in like a cooler or something. But like, I look at this, and I'm like,
take your dog down to her mom's in a cooler and bury him down there.
Yeah, well, you don't want him to thaw out on the way down. You know, it's just
now the one cat we lost
7 hour
did
drive.
Bury in the backyard, and that was a little easier to dig a hole back there because it's a cat, you know, so it's not
right.
Had to be very deep. But Sassy's a little bit bigger than that. It's not gonna happen.
Yeah, well, that's you know, that's the problem. We're not allowed to dig. You're not supposed to dig more than 6 inches here, and like,
oh, really?
Because there's possibility of unexploded ordnance, which
very that would be a problem
that we're gonna hit that in the yard. But, I mean, Yeah, I'm like, but if Herc, when Herc bites the dust, that's like digging a grave for a person.
Yeah, he's huge, man.
Yeah, I don't.
But see, when that happens, though, are you gonna get another dove?
Yeah, probably. Yeah, I'm not getting another Pyrenees, that's for sure.
Yeah, I'm not. I love them, if I get one, I'm getting a rat dog, like a dachshund or something, like something small, something that I can manhandle, because Sassy's a big load, man. I'm telling you. One day, I felt sorry for her. She's sitting downstairs, and she tried to come upstairs, and she started to whine because she's just in so much pain from her rear end. And so I just picked her up. I scooped her up and lifted her heavy ass and took her up a flight of stairs just because I felt sorry for her, because she was hungry. She wanted to eat. So... And I will not take it down there, because I know some of her shit is because she's lazy. Hey, she's a McLaughlin. She, of course, she's lazy a little bit.
There you go. Well, you know what? Wait till you get arthritis, and we'll see if you want to be carried up and down the steps.
God, hey, I probably already have it, but
I know I do.
49 now. Of course I have some bullshit like that.
I'm about to turn 39 and I've already got arthritis.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's once you get above 30, it starts to all go downhill. It's like Link was talking with Link online. I guess he said that Michelle needs to get her knees replaced.
Well, that's not fun.
That is a hellacious surgery, man. I read the... When Misty's dad, he's had it done. Not finally on, but it took him a while. But they finally got it done to both knees. And so when they were getting it done on the first knee, they sent all the paperwork home, and Misty wanted to make a copy of it so that, you know, so that they had a copy, so he wouldn't lose it, just so that we knew what he had to go through therapy-wise afterwards. And the one paper that just made me cringe when I read it was it talked about what the surgery consists of. And then basically, you know, they cut you open, of course. They freaking saw on the top of your femur and the top of the, other two bones.
Right, they grind them down.
Yep.
And then they coat them in metal and they put them back together.
Yep, put you a titanium knee in there, and can it reconnect your ligament somehow too? And it's like, oh. Sounds painful to me. It's kind of why I'm gonna use the hinge health stuff to try and avoid it.
Arthritis is painful too.
Right, arthritis, and well, then I think his problem is actually his meniscus. There's like a cushioning on top of each of those bones, and that was just starting to get ate away, you know, just from just the years of walking around and stuff. In his case, he also climbed trees and stuff, because he was a tree trimmer for a long time. But it's like, yeah, I want to try and avoid that stuff. That's where I've said, I don't ever want to be one of those hams in a hamabouts at the hamvention or the other ham fest. If we ever get to have them again, we should. But
well, quit eating pizza.
Ah, pizza's so delicious, though. And amazingly enough, even though I haven't been exercising as much as I normally like to, I'm still losing weight. So.
Yeah, I'm losing weight too. I'm just worried it's all muscle mass.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good point. I did go for a ride Monday on the bike, and didn't ride very far. I just kind of rode around the neighborhood and stuff, and basically I'm just trying to shake down all the little I don't care who put your bike together, you're gonna have little niggles here and there that aren't, just, you know, little adjustments you're gonna have to make before you're happy with it. So, like, maybe adjust the brakes here, there, or the shifter, or whatever. You know, there's always stuff like that. Like, this ride, the thing I adjusted was the seat. So, I boosted the seat up an inch or two, and that made it a little bit more comfortable. So, eventually, I'll get it to the point where I just hop on it and go. But, not quite there yet. And the weather's not helping. We had nothing but rain the last couple days.
That'll clean out that chipper, right? When you get
it. Chipper's not here yet, so.
Well, when you get it, that rain will help keep it clean.
And I think one of the things I didn't want to get other than the chipper that'll help in that project is under anything that's too big to go in it, I'm going to stack it up. We'll let it dry out, and then we're going to get a fire pit and have a campfire in the backyard.
We do that on a fairly regular. We do that with our Christmas tree every year.
Mm-hmm.
We do that on a regular basis. Have fire pit.
Have some s'mores. Good. Some hot dogs.
Absolutely, absolutely. Good times.
I just had hot dogs this week, and they were delicious. They would have made Rich sick. They were Nathan's hot dogs. Not we didn't get the big ones this time. We got the normal size ones, so we didn't get the quarter pound of meat in your mouth.
The skinless?
I don't know if they're skin. I don't know. They're delicious is all I know. Today I had I need to get some propane for my grill. I also have a Foreman grill to use for when it's too damn cold out. So that's what I've been using, because right now I'm out of propane, and not to mention the fact that I really need to give the grill the once over, check the burners and stuff like that, you know, replace shit. But today what I did when I grilled some hamburgers, and they were frozen patties I got over at Sam's Club. When I grilled them, though, I just looked in the fridge and I realized they had some liquid smoke in there. So I put a few drops of that on both sides of that those burgers, and man, did it taste good. So if you have to do something, like if you have to fix a hamburger inside the house, that's the way to do it, man. A little bit of liquid Colgan's liquid smoke. Put that on there.
Yeah, my wife likes the liquid smoke.
Yep. Yeah, but one day I made bacon and put on the burgers. Another one I did that Vino de Milo onion bacon jam. That stuff's delicious. Yeah, my air fryer's been getting a workout. We've been using that a lot.
What's the last thing you fried in there?
With some crinkle cut fries I got over at Sam's Club. Not what I prefer. If I get the frozen fries, I'd like to get like either they have Arby's curly fries that you can buy at the store now, or Rally's fries. Rally/Checkers fries. I mean, I really shouldn't eat those things, but you know, I figure if I air fry them, they're a little bit
fries.
They're delicious, man. It's delicious carbs. And I shouldn't eat, of course, but I haven't tried them yet, but it's probably not something you would normally buy, Dan, but I found Tyson, you know, the chicken folks.
Yeah, I know the chicken folks.
Yeah, they make chicken nuggets with tahini, I think it's how you say it, tahine, T-A-J-I-N, the chili lime seasoning.
Okay.
So it's in the breading. So I'll have to try those and see how those turn out. I'm probably going to do those in the air fryer too. I was looking, see, I'm on call this week, so I was looking for stuff that's easy to do and quick to do. And that's the kind of stuff I got. But when I made burgers, I didn't just use any old burger bun. I got some brioche buns, man. Those are good. One thing I haven't tried yet, I've been thinking about trying. Has anyone tried the Impossible Burger yet?
I've had it.
What do you think? Does it really taste like meat? I can't see how.
You gotta be careful with how you prepare it because it could dry out really fast.
I'm guaranteeing you to can have. See, to me, I'm like, if I'm eating a veggie burger, I'd rather have like a Morningstar Farms one. Like, they have the black bean burgers that are good.
Yeah, I they were all right. You would probably have one. I had it in a restaurant once, and I also made one. Right.
Right.
And they're damn expensive. First off,
looks like I bypassed that FRP.
How'd
you do it?
Cool.
Oh, well, first you have to log into a Wi-Fi, and then you have to go to where it says to log into your account. Then you have to go back to the Wi-Fi area and then click. Dude, it's a long explanation.
Well, I'm glad you got past it.
Do you want me to give you the long explanation?
1 second.
If you have a link to a website, that would be great.
Yes, I do.
No.
But what I was going to say, Joel, is I think you're better off buying Morningstar. But if you've never had one, definitely get it and try it. It's worth it to try it. But you'll find out you'd rather have the Morningstar or whatever because it's more economical. It tastes just as good, if not better.
I have to say, I like. Like the black bean ones, my two favorites in the Morningstars are the black bean. Then they got a portobello mushroom one; it's delicious too. So I like to get the portobello mushroom one and like throw some like pizza sauce on top of that with some mozzarella. That's delicious. Just something different to have, you know, and quick. Because in this day and age, quick is the name of the game, especially when I'm working on my on-call hours, which suck. I don't start work till like 12 o'clock, and that's horrible.
Yeah. So what did you have to do now, Joe? Now I'm ready.
Okay, like I said, you log into your Wi-Fi, and then it takes you to the next screen where it tells you you need to log in with one of the previous accounts that have been on there. And then you back up to the Wi-Fi screen again, click Add Wi-Fi, and then a little pop-up comes up, and you type whatever, and then you long press whatever it is that you just typed, and then you click Assist, and then that takes you to this little Google window, and then over in the corner, you tell it to use, the search comes up, and you type Chrome, and then you click on the Chrome application, and then you go and find an application called Shortcut Maker. App Shortcut Maker. And then you install that. And then you open it. Well, you have to go through the process of allowing your device to use applications from outside of the market, et cetera, et cetera. And then once you're in there, you have to go to the settings application and then bring up the settings application. And then you have to tell it to show system applications. And then you have to go to Google Account Manager and force stop it and disable it. And then you have to go press back until you get back to the shortcut manager or the shortcut maker, and then scroll down to Google Account Manager, and then there will be an arrow. You click on that, and then you find the one that says sign in with email and password. You click on that, and then you click the hamburger menu in the top right and say browser sign in. That will allow you to assign into your Google account from a browser. And
that's it. Your account is on there now. You can restart the damn thing and go through the setup process.
Yay.
How'd you figure that out?
Other people had done similar things, but when it came to the password one, it wasn't available, which was why I had to go in and disable Google accounts. Here, I'll send you one of the YouTube videos that I was using. Actually, I don't even know if this one's in English or not.
Damn, that's a lot of...
No, this one's not in English, but it is what I was using.
Yay.
That's just like, who would have... How did they come up with that shit? Like, how does somebody figure that out?
It's a good question, man. I think, yeah.
How do they keep blocking new ways of doing it?
Yeah, I know, right? Well, you know, and people like I kept seeing people, especially if they were Apple fans at all, they're saying, well, Android needs to be more secure. There's a reason why people like Android generally, and that's because it's not, doesn't have some of the BS that Apple has with that. You know, it's like, I don't, now granted, I have to preface this. The only iPhone I have is my work provided one and work managed one. So, like today or I forget when, but sometime this week I had to change the freaking passcode on the phone, and I'm like, why? But that's a corporate mandate, so I have to change it from time to time. So. Don't have to do that on my Android phone. I'm guessing that if you have a corporate managed Android phone, you probably have to do the same thing. But it's much worse on Apple. At least on Apple, or on Android, I mean, you can load apps from other stores and stuff, which is, I'll admit, is a little bit of a security leak, a little bit of a security issue. But honestly, if you know what you're doing, you're not going to get yourself in trouble. Yeah, and I'm not even one of the people, like at the beginning, like when I had my G1 and then the Droid 2, I customized the heck out of it. I put different skins on it, load Cyanogen mod, which is now what is Cyanogen now? Is it Oxygen? Lineage. What is it, Joe?
I believe it's Lineage.
Lineage, thank you. That's right. Lineage or Lineage. Yeah, so I mean, it's, you know, it's like, I remember when I had Pocket PC, I would make my own themes for the Pocket PC, and I don't give a shit about that anymore. I just want the thing to work, you know?
Yeah. Well, you know, everybody used to root and ROM, too.
Well, there's still people that do.
Yeah, but not everybody anymore.
Oh, one of the cool things was the OnePlus One phones, they're now available on Verizon. Which is the first time that's ever happened.
What are they up to?
The 8, I think.
Yeah. Okay. And they have multiple phones coming out at the same time now, right? They have their premium and their... Mm-hmm. Okay.
I have to look and see what that looks like, because that might be a good candidate to replace my Note 10 when I'm done with it. But right now, I have no desire to. The Note 10 is still a fantastic phone.
Yeah, I'm not getting rid of the Note 10 anytime soon. I mean, it's not even paid off yet.
Yeah, I know, right?
Right? It's about half paid off. In a couple of months, it'll be half paid off.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's my Gear Diary group, there has been a healthy discussion about Chromebooks and how that it's an 80% computer for some people. And not having used one, I really can't say that for sure, but I can see that.
I can understand, because, you know, a lot of what I do all in Chrome browser. Anyway. Yeah, a browser. most of it gets done there. And then, you know, there are some specialty stuff that doesn't get done there. But just for walking around, I could see how people could use that. Now, the newer Chromebooks, you can just freaking run Linux apps on them or run Linux right. on them. So I can understand that. I wouldn't mind having one as long as it was a decent one, but now they're not really low-cost devices anymore.
No. Well, I mean, there is one that's semi-interesting to me, the IdeaPad Duet from Lenovo. It's $399, or $299, I mean, sorry. That's very interesting to me. It's kind of a little bit like our long dead Jides, Dan. You might actually like this. But for my thing, though, I don't know. It's just, if I'm spending that much, I might as well just spend a little more and get another laptop, you know? I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, new Chromebooks, what do they start out at these days? At least $250, yeah, all the least, way up to like $2,000 or some crazy crap like that.
Yeah, or what the Pixelbook Go was like $600.
It's nuts. I'm not going to pay that much for a not as crippled as it used to be, but still essentially a device that comes crippled. It's right. Like nobody's actually going to buy a device with Windows 10 S on it and leave it at S.
Yep. Well, my thing, though, with it is that if I could do everything I could do on a Windows or a Linux device, then it would be worth it to spend that kind of cash on it. But I can't, so it's not.
So what would you buy instead?
Honestly, if I wanted something simpler, I'm going to shock you. I'm probably going to say an iPad Pro.
Well, you're mistaken about not being able to do everything on a Linux device.
I get where you're going. I get where you're going, Joe. I do.
No, you don't.
Yeah. But,
where am I going?
That you can video edit on a Linux device, and I'm not saying that you can't. I'm just saying that you can't do the style of video that I want to do on a Linux device.
Okay. But when we're talking about a portable device,
right.
If you have Linux and then you have a machine at home that can do everything that you want, that's what remote desktop is for.
Right. Well, it's true, too. Yeah, but one of these days, I'd love to just go built a big honking desktop that had a nice video card on it, like a NVIDIA RTX card in it. That'd be my Windows box.
You know, an RTX 2080, no big deal.
Yeah, right. I know, right? It's only, what, $400, $500 for that? Yeah, right.
Hey, that means that graphics cards have come down a lot. Because if you think about, like, 2 years ago, the 1080s, We're running over $1,000.
See, what are the 2080s going for?
Well, didn't that all come crashing down in price when the coin market or the ability to create coins far exceeded the processing power most people could afford?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Not even then, because you still had people that were pushing to.
They're still pretty expensive, though, Joe.
yeah, they're still pretty expensive, but nowhere near as expensive as they were. And you got the whole updates on graphics cards stopped for like 5 years because of Bitcoin. And then even when Bitcoin got extremely difficult to mine, people were still mining it, and people were still mining altcoins. And then basically, you know, Bitcoin had that huge drop where it went from about $20,000 to about, you know, $3,000. And yes, it's climbed back since then up to like $7,000 or something. But even still.
Asus, Republic of Gamers, Strix GeForce RTX 2080 is $784. Granted, if I build a machine, that's probably what I'm going to put it at. is something like that, because I'm going to spend the money and I'm going to make something that'll make videos just edit so much faster, you know. Because I don't do – so that's the other thing too now, Joe. I don't do as much video editing.
I don't do video editing at all. So.
Well, high processing video editing when I'm on the run, you know. I could do a whole vlog on my phone, you know, using a what do I use? PowerDirector, which is a quite competent I mean, it's not super detailed, super manual. CyberLink PowerDirector is the name of it. It's not super deep, like super manual or anything like that. There's a lot of automated processes to it, but the basics of cutting, you know, like trimming video, throwing a title, throwing a little music into it, all done on that. You can do some effects too, but nothing fancy or advanced, you know, just a straight up small little vlog. You can, what I like to do with it too is I'll pre-render stuff like on my on Premiere or something. Like I'll pre-render a title, or at least everything but the text on the title. So like I have like some drone shots, a few things like that. Throw that video clip on my phone, and then I can edit everything on the phone. Mm-hmm. So that for a mobile editor, that does a fantastic job. But you know, so that kind of goes back towards where, okay, Chromebooks for me, until a video editor can be reliably edited on Chrome, I'm not really that interested in the Chromebook necessarily. It might be a good replacement, like for example, when I decide to replace the iPad that I have.
Like I said,
yeah.
You can run Linux apps directly on a Chromebook, or you can install Linux. But if you can run Linux apps directly on a Chromebook, then why couldn't you run like Kden Live?
Because I hate Kden Live.
Okay, editing app in Linux that you want to.
OpenShot's the only thing that I've used in recent memory. I have played around with the latest Kden Live. It's getting better, but it's just not where I want it to be. It's more than that too. It's things like, for example, if I want to go buy a new camera, I don't want to have to actually go and look and see, okay, what cameras can I edit with Darktable? You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I can go buy the latest greatest camera with anything I have right now that's Windows oriented and not have a problem editing on it, the raw files. Okay. Not quite so, although it's getting better with Linux now. Like I was able to pull off the ARWs from my Sony. I was able to edit them in Darktable. I tried it, so it worked. But there are a lot of things that Adobe does in their tools now that makes, like for example, in the button press, I can have a group of, say if I have shot like 10 or 20 pictures outside and in the same lighting situations, once I edit one picture, I can apply the same settings to all of them. I'm not saying that you can't do that in Darktable. You probably can. It's the workflow is there. I already have the workflow. It's almost like muscle memory with me, and that's part of the problem. I will freely admit that. But when it comes to the video editing side of things, there's a lot of things that I can do more automatically with Premiere than I can do with other stuff.
And like I was saying, okay, you know, I think most people could get by with a Chromebook. I think I probably could get by with a Chromebook as my device, especially since you can do things like install and run Linux applications or make it run Linux in general. My whole problem with it, though, is it's supposed to be slightly lower-end hardware, and it costs as much as everything else.
Yep.
Where's my savings here?
There is no savings.
Why would I brick my, you know, why would I attach an anchor to my leg when I can, you know, find something
There's
else
no
that does it better.
Equivalent to the netbook anymore.
There really
tablets
isn't.
Aren't equivalent. I'm sorry, they just aren't.
I'm not arguing with you.
Yeah.
Now, you can find tablets that most people wouldn't really consider tablets other than the form factor.
Right, that are Intel boxes, yes.
Yeah, I mean, they're running full-fledged desktop processors. So, yes, they're a tablet form factor, but they're really a laptop without a keyboard.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
I think you have one, as a matter of fact.
Yep, Surface Pro. So, I will say this, when I replace that, so far as for video editing, yeah, I'll say this, it's not the greatest video editing machine, but it does the job for me. And it's uber portable, but like I said, my needs have changed quite a bit since I first started doing video editing. I don't need it to be uber portable anymore necessarily, you know. Especially since, you know, depending on what I want to do, if it's a short video or something that doesn't need a lot of cutting and a lot of fancy effects, you know, no compositing or anything like that, then CyberLink PowerDirector on my Android phone does a wonderful job. And it runs on Android tablets too. So, I have played with iMovie and it's an abomination as far as I'm concerned. It's not what it used to be. I did do it a long time ago. I did do a lot of editing on iMovie back when my PowerBook G4 that I have now. Well, it's not the same one that I had, but back when I first bought it brand new years ago, iMovie was much more hands-on, much more manual. Now it's more automatic process, which is not something I like when I'm looking at video editing. I want the control, you know, and even CyberLink PowerDirector has more control than iMovie. So, like I could get even load fonts up on my phone for that. And that's the other thing, too, is little things like on iMovie, you pretty much, you know, there's no real file system anymore, or, you know, yet. It's hard to put things on the device.
On a tablet and a phone, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Freaking sucks.
Mm-hmm, yeah. Well, even an Android, it kind of sucks, too, because if you buy any larger thumb drives or memory sticks or memory cards, I should say, not memory sticks, but anything above what's the limit? Is it 64 gigs? It's where it starts with XFAT?
I don't remember off the top of my head.
I've just found that Android doesn't really support XFAT all that well. So if you put a big card in the Android, I think it might have changed a little bit, but it's more, I think it more integrates in with your, it, how Android handles memory cards is kind of funky compared to other devices.
You mean like how it wants to integrate it in as opposed to making it like a mass storage device that
yep.
you can pull out yep. and put in again? Yep. Yeah. You can take a performance hit if you use it as a mass storage device.
Yeah, like, even if it wasn't XFAT, even if I had like either EXT4 or an NTFS formatted external drive, if I plugged it into my old Jide, it would have problems reading it.
Uh-huh.
Granted, we're talking about three or four versions of Android behind there, but
it's when you use Google Drive to just transfer documents back.
This is true. This is true. I use the heck out of Google Drive, and I also use OneDrive too.
I use
it's
Google
Microsoft
Drive,
stuff.
But I'll be right back.
I use Resilio Sync.
Mm-hmm.
That's about it. Google Drive and Resilio Sync.
There's a lot of great features now built into the Samsung's camera app now too. I really like the food mode on the picture on the camera is actually pretty nifty. Makes your food shots look pretty.
I don't use my camera very much. I thought about, you know, I understand that the front-facing camera is supposed to be good enough to do halfway decent videos for YouTube. But yeah. I just haven't gotten around to it yet.
Right.
I do so much podcasting and working and other projects. And my 3D printer was doing really, really well. And now it's got another clog, so that shouldn't take me long to take that apart and put it back together.
I already know what my next 3D printer is going to be.
Don't you have like four of them?
I only have two right now. I have my OneHoI 3 Mini, and I have...
How do you like that one?
It's all right. Well, I understand if you want to go for one that's like that, go for version 2 because they added a heated bed to it.
Oh, even on the Mini? That's actually interesting. That's
very nice. But no, I want I watched a little bit of have you ever seen Sexy Cyborg on YouTube?
I have not.
Naomi Wu. She is does a lot of reviews on 3D printers, a lot of Creality stuff. She lives in Shenzhen. But she did a video on Creality's LD-002R UV photo curing LCD printer, basically SLA printer.
Mm-hmm.
It's only $289 right now.
SLA printer. Is that the one where it uses UV light?
And resin.
Yep. Resin
not
printer.
A filament.
Okay. Yeah.
Yep. Okay. And basically it's an LCD and it does a layer at a time. It lowers the platform into the goo, solidifies a layer, then brings it up.
I understand that that is really good for super smooth prints.
Small things, too.
Right, small things, super smooth prints. You will have some issues with liquid being stuck in the inside, et cetera, et cetera.
Unless you put a hole. I think some of the slicers will put a hole in it so that it lets that drain.
Yeah. And then you do need to let it sit out in the sun, too. But do you need to have supports in the middle for
yes
something?
It will generate supports. Like the one print she did was apparently a while ago she had her body 3D scanned, and so she has an STL of herself, and one of the things that she printed herself in two different poses, and one of them she tilted the object on the platform to about 45 degree angle, and then that generated all the supports that it needs, and it has a lot more supports needed than your standard FDM printers, but in my understanding in most cases that they're a little bit easier to remove too, because basically instead of being how you know like supports on FDMs have a little bit more to them, and in these it's basically just has to hang from the bottom of the build plate, so they're very tiny. So instead of a bigger support that's used to hold up the filament that's printed, it's a little tiny like little thing that you can cut off with the diagonal cutters, you know.
Your side cutters.
Yes, your side cutters, yep. But for $289, a resin printer, pretty fantastic.
Yeah, sub $300 resin printer. It's another learning curve, and I'm not even done with the learning curve on the 3D printer.
Mm-hmm. So. Yeah, I definitely say if you're getting into 3D printing, do not start with the resin printer. Start with the standard FDM.
Yeah, and don't worry, you'll hate yourself every now and again.
Agreed.
But you'll get past it.
The only thing that worries me, if I were to buy one like right now, which is not going to happen right now, maybe it might be a Christmas present this year. But you have to rinse the resin off your prints with isopropyl alcohol. Good luck finding that right now.
Yeah, and then after that, you got to take it out in the sunshine for a while.
Yeah, or and what she did was she built a she took like
lamp.
The UV strip lights.
Ah.
She wrapped them around the inside of a bucket, and she got one of those like I'm assuming this, and this is something you might actually be able to find at a thrift store, but get one of those crank up microwave tables. You know, the turntables, and crank it up, or just a regular turntable of some sort that can be powered by electric, and
put
it on that, put it in the bucket, you know, put it with the lights on, and then have it rotate. Player. Yeah, record player would work too. Yeah, actually, although you'd have to turn the RPMs down quite a bit, but yeah. And it's actually the other thing too that you could use, like if you got LED lights to do that, I guess a nail drying deal is good for that too. The 8-bit guy, he did a while ago, it's not recent, he did a restoration on a Commodore 64 and he wanted to retrobrite it. So he did it with the liquid hydraulic. You know,
I haven't watched liquid. That video yet, but I do have it in my queue.
Yeah, but he used the liquid crap. I want to say hydrogen peroxide, but it's the curling, you know, curl developer. They have it in a gel form and a liquid form. But he had that the liquid form mixed with water, and then he put these really huge, and powerful UV lights that he hung over the top of it. So if you had something like that to cure your resin prints, you could use it for other things too as well. So retrobriting. But yeah, if I had more space in my office or if I had another room that I can put stuff in, I'd like to build a little museum, you know?
I have too much crap as it is. I don't need to make another area designated for crap.
That's like, well, it's like I'm not the winning bid right now on that 2C. And I keep thinking of, I want to watch it up until like the last minute. And if it's still relatively close to what it is now, I might go ahead and put a bid in to see if I can't snipe it. But I don't want to pay like $300 for it. So if it's close to that during the end.
Why pay, you know, more than what you can do a buy it now for?
Mm-hmm.
Have your max price in mind and set it beforehand.
I never can get lucky like LGR. Well, granted, he goes to the thrift stores a lot more than I do. But he's found some amazing things.
We gotta wrap up the show.
Yeah, it's getting late.
Joe's gotta get some sleep.
I do. I got a long day Friday. I got a long day. We have a team meeting, and I'm debating. I'm probably gonna go ahead and go to it just because it's easier to do that. But then after that, I want to get off until my shift starts. And then Saturday, we'll be putting the wood chipper together when it gets here. I kind of told Misty, don't expect us to actually be chipping wood Saturday. Because who knows how much work it is to put it together. I don't.
Yeah. I need to go hang out with my wife, though. So I'm going to let you guys go.
All right. As long as it's not broken up, man. Have missing parts or something. Have a safe week, Joe. See you next week.
Yep. Have a safe week. Yep.
Talk to you next week.
I hear your promos and then, here. Yeah.
My name is Matt, and I've started a new podcast called LibreQuest. I talk about Linux and general technical topics. To get the show, visit LibreQuest.org.
Oh my God, it's Hacker Public Radio!
Hacker Public Radio is a daily podcast by the hacker community for the hacker community. If you're interested in technology, creative thinking, hacking, Linux, or any kind of computer, that kind of stuff, you should listen to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.com.
Hi, folks. This is Chatter. Jay Wisher, Honky Magoo 5150, and I have started a new podcast. Yeah, I know we should have gotten Brian Lunduk to do the voiceover, but he wanted a script, and none of us are any good at scripting language. Anyway, it's Linux Lugcast. We're at linuxlugcast.com, IRC channel, pound Linux Lugcast on Freenode. We record on the first and third Fridays of the month, 9 p.m. Eastern Time, 0200 UTC. We talk about things we've tried, things we got to work, things we failed to get working, things we built, and things we broke. Email us at feedback@linuxlugcast.com, and if we don't know the answer, we'll just tell you to install Arch. That's a joke, son. So join us as we stifle the outcry of voices everywhere for another Linux podcast.
So we can paint anything we want?
Anything at all.
How about if I paint your fine ass? Yeah, with my tongue brush. Shut up. Just shut up.
Daddy has a gun!
It's over.
Well, you were making egg foo young in the kitchen. I was in the dining room having sushi.
Yeah.
Oy, oy, oy.
There's those nuggets, man.
The what?
The tahini nuggets. Oh. Put it in an IRC here. I'll put it in the...
Okay, no, I see it. I see it. Huh.
We'll see how they taste. I don't know.
I bet you they taste pretty damn good.
Yeah. I don't know, it's probably not the healthiest thing ever to eat, but... At least it's better than going to a restaurant.
There you go. Really?
And I'm waiting for my I got some more filament and some bearings coming. I'm going to make some fidget spinners. And I'm thankful that they're not requiring masks here to go to the store. Because my problem isn't, well, it's not that I, you know, if they said I had to wear one, I would wear one, okay? And I might even wear one if they said they didn't. But my problem is trying to finish the ones I'm trying to make. It's just trying to find the stuff that I need to finish them. Because things like elastic, hard to find, man.
Oh, yeah. You just put a piece of rope around it. Best you can do at this point.
Yeah, I know. I mean, that's the thing, you know. And even then, my mask, it's like, I don't think my mask is going to do a whole lot of good because I'm seeing her walking around like Walmart picking up essentials that I needed this past weekend. And Misty was with me, and I kind of started the game with her. I told her, I'm just going to say a number, okay? I'm not going to say why or what it was. I'm just going to say a number, okay? And this is what I was telling her so nobody else can hear. I said, and whenever I say a number, that means I found somebody and that's my count of how many people I found that weren't wearing their mask correctly. Because that is, I'm like, if you're going to wear a mask, at least put it on right, you know? Like, for example, there's actually a news story of my governor, and the picture they used for the story, his nose was hanging out. I'm like, that's kind of defeating the purpose.
Right.
So
we're gonna stop the recording, Joe. Say goodnight.
Go for it. Finish.
How did that happen, Joe? How did the audio cable get pulled out of the laptop?
You were yanking on cables.
I haven't touched it. Oh. Oh, yeah, yeah. Wait, did I move that machine? No. I don't know. It's Joel. He must be at Taco Bell. Righty. Episode 855. How's that pig coming?
Okay. Frozen salad.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear you, Pat. What'd you say?
Frozen salad.
Frozen salad, man. Have you guys been in? Eating off of it regularly, or are you still just saying?
Occasionally, I had some sausages. Sausages are awesome.
I bet. That is. That is some. All right. No. All right. Who's rich tonight? Maybe he got lost on his way out of the bathroom. Oh, yeah. All right. Who's in it? Oh. You ready, Joe?
Sure.
All right. Make sure the stream is up. And it's running. We have listeners on the stream, Joe. On the stream.
I'm glad to hear it. I guess it's me and Pat tonight.
How's it going, man?
Hey, Pat.
It's been a little special.
I suspect Joe will probably show up a little on the late side.
How about you guys? see a lot of people on the road. I went into the office today.
You went into the office today?
Yeah. It was not quite a regular day, but there were enough cars on the road, maybe 70% normal. I think people have had it and they're starting to go back to work. Those who haven't been working, but I've been working for a time.
Let's start the show. Let's start the show. And I gotta queue up on the audio. And just as I get this going, Joe will probably show up.
I had some. I don't know where they are now.
All right.